First reading is about bringing the first fruits, and it's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering iron man, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household.
Now the second reading is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Do not be anxious about anything. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And God of peace will be with you. It's the word of the Lord.
As we invite Ian up to speak to us, we'd like to pray for him. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the word you've given Ian this week. And we ask that we become like the Marconi radar tower to receive your message to our hearts, minds, bodies and souls. That we hear everything that you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love that local reference, the Marconi radar tower. Very good. This harvest festival service is a celebration of God's goodness to us, isn't it? It's a time to look back, maybe, at God's love for us in the past, and to look forward too. Because we all have a future where we'll be under God's care. And therefore, we don't need to worry or fear anything. God's inviting us to trust him simply because he can be trusted. So my theme today is don't you worry about a thing. I don't know about you. There are some people I know who are worriers, so I've been told. I don't know if that's you at all. But in Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And it's part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very famous section of Jesus' teaching. I've had lots of people over the years say to me, "Vicar, I live by the Sermon on the Mount. It's wonderful teaching." I think the bit they're probably thinking of is, do unto others what you would have them do to you, what we call the golden rule in Matthew 7. But there's actually plenty more than that in the Sermon on the Mount. For example, this verse today, which you could summarize as, do not worry, God will provide for you. I was actually reading a little earlier today about King Solomon and the high point of his reign when he was dedicating the temple and everything. And it says, the people ate and drank and were happy together in 1 Kings chapter 4. They ate and drank and were happy. It's a picture of contentment, isn't it? But Jesus says people often ask three worrying questions. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Well, we've got all sorts of good things for our harvest offerings, things that people can eat, things that people can drink. And I'm sure those are all going to go to Colchester Food Bank, and they'll help people who are really in need. But we can trust God for ourselves. Why? Because God cares for us and for his creation. He's an understanding Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us, his children, to fret about everything. And that's why Jesus says, do not worry. Jesus, after all, this is Jesus speaking, so we need to hear this seriously, don't we? Granted, it's easier said than done, but don't dismiss it out of hand as too difficult, because Jesus doesn't mean this flippantly. He's not throwing this away as a casual thing, saying just get over it or pull yourself together or whatever. He means it genuinely and earnestly because he cares for us. He says, do not worry, because he loves us and doesn't want us to be anxious or panicky about life. It's also a test of faith. We do not need to worry because we have a God that we can trust. And if we put our faith in him, then we can stand firm no matter what the circumstances, no matter what life throws at us. Putting our trust in God doesn't mean that problems won't come our way. We're likely to have just as many troubles as the next person. But we can be certain that God will stand by us and help us to cope. Now, I know that sounds well and good until you try and put it into practice. Why do we have empty shelves in our supermarkets? You've probably seen them in the past weeks. People are panic buying, aren't they? Around now in October, I'm told there's often a rush on turkeys because people are worried that the farms won't be able to deliver enough turkeys for Christmas. But then again, we also throw away vast quantities of fresh fruit and veg every week, don't we? Why do we buy so much more than we can eat? Have you seen the shopping trolleys piled high at the checkouts in the supermarkets? I know Ali has, certainly. And then again, do you check out the fashion industry, following what Kate, the Princess of Wales, is wearing this week, what the A-list celebs are wearing? How many outfits do we have in our wardrobes? How many shoes? Plenty, I'm sure. Many of us are worriers, anxious, trying to protect ourselves against hunger and cold. But to be honest, most of us have not really been hungry or cold in living memory. We actually have the opposite problem. For our good health, many of us need to eat less and to turn down the thermostat in our houses. We worry to the point of being unhealthy, worried to death. And the insurance industry is booming as well, because we worry. We insure ourselves against minor risks unnecessarily. We need to worry less, get our heart rate down, reduce our blood pressure. We need to put it all in the hands of God. And Jesus here is actually saying that worry is a sin. How's that, Jesus? Well, it's because we're designed to live under God and not under piles of stuff. To trust in God and not in insurance and credit cards and stockpiling. Our phones and our TVs and our newspapers and magazines are feeding us a diet of worry and anxiety, with breaks for adverts between, all trying to persuade us to get more stuff. Jane and I have been trying to have a clear out, not with a lot of success, I have to say. It's not easy, is it? How do we simplify? How do we do that? How do we cut down? Well, listen to the Bible, as Tim was saying earlier, because God provides such abundance for us. Do you remember in lockdown how the land benefited from the lack of traffic? Cars and aeroplanes stood still on the tarmac, and it was as if the earth breathed again. I can remember in that first lockdown in March 2020, walking down the middle of the A120 in the middle of the day, not a car in sight anywhere. Now that's a rare thing in normal times, isn't it? Even if you go out at 3 a.m, it's a rare thing to find an empty road. It felt then as if the planet was relaxing, didn't it? And it happened again recently for the Queen's funeral. I don't know if you saw the roads, but they were clear because people were all watching. The whole world paused to watch and wonder. But we're still not significantly changing the way that we live week to week. In November, the COP27 climate change conference takes place. We need to pray for our human race, for the way that we treat God's beautiful creation. It sometimes seems as if we just don't care at all, that we can just trash the planet and walk away. I think often our young people are actually setting us a good example by living with very little stuff, by travelling light, by possessing little, and if they need something for an occasion, then hiring it. It's not a bad way to live, walking lightly upon the earth. If you're naturally a worrier, then I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that Jesus is very, very clear that worry is a sin. Anxiety is not only bad for our heart rate, it's bad for our trust in God as well. Because we imagine all the worst possible outcomes, don't we? Instead of dwelling on God's good provision. But the good news is that we can change all that. I remember once going on a course on prayer, and the speaker was talking about contemplation, meditation. And he said that these things, contemplation, is actually the same process as worry. But all you do is just you replace thoughts of disaster with thoughts of God and his goodness and his grace. So the next time your brain goes into overdrive, perhaps late at night as you're lying there, can't get to sleep, what's troubling you is going round and round and round in your head. Simply replace that troubling thing with God's creation, with his goodness, with what he's done for you in Jesus, perhaps even with answers to your prayers. And as Audrey read a moment ago, Paul says to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Dwell on them. Contemplate them. If you read your Bible, you'll be reminded of what God has done for you, and indeed for us all. If you find nature inspiring, for example, turn in your imagination to your favourite places and thank God for them. North Yorkshire, maybe. Wonderful places. Most of all, remind yourself of God's goodness to you. Perhaps for you it's music, art, sport. We all have something that inspires us. But remind yourself of God's goodness to you, especially in Jesus. Replace the worry and the anxiety with praise and thankfulness. And you'll feel your heart rate come down. You'll feel your soul relaxing. Gratitude is good for us. So there you go then. That's the harvest spirit.